here tonight. I'm so thankful that I want to come and that you want to come. Nobody forced us to come. We come to seek our Lord, and what a blessed treat it is to have that kind of a heart. And if you take your Bibles tonight, I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 11, a very familiar passage to most of you. Hebrews chapter 11, when you found that, let's stand, reverencing God's Word, if you could, able to stand. And I'd like to read one verse here, and it's verse 6. The Bible says this to us, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." That's God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, I'd like for us to consider that last phrase tonight, that we might understand that God literally does reward those that diligently seek him. Diligently seeking him is not seeking him during the church service. We ought to do that, but we ought to seek him all the time. All the time. Continually, the Bible says. And I want you to think about it tonight, and I want you to think about how much that you literally seek God. I mean, seek Almighty God. That's an important thing. It depends on how much we believe that he is. That will cause us to seek him all the more if we understand and believe that he is Almighty God. Pray with me, please. Father, we love you. We've come to seek you tonight. Lord, you know, I started out wanting to preach something else, and you've got this for us tonight. And Lord, I'm anxious about it. And I just pray now you'll take this service over. And I pray, God, that you'll arrest each of our hearts and minds. And Lord, you will judge us, please, or convict us. I believe on our lack of seeking you. And Lord, I want to seek you more. You've touched my heart with this. And I just ask you, God, if you would, to draw us to you. Oh, that we would see you high and lifted up. Oh, that we would want you more than anything on this earth. That we would want your will. We would want your presence. And Lord, we would want your fullness. Oh God, we need to know you better. We won't do that if we don't learn to seek you. Help us tonight, please. Bless the reading of your precious word. Oh, this is a great verse. And I just thank you for it. Now, Lord, please fill me and use me. Others have prayed, and I appreciate that so much. I beg you, Lord, to speak through me tonight. It's in your wonderful name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. You know, we understand this verse. It's a big verse. It's impossible to please God without faith. You'll not have faith if you don't believe that he is. You'll not have faith if you don't believe in him. You'll not have faith without his precious word. It's a big thing, this verse. It's a big thing to understand that we must come to God. We must steady come to God. We must believe in God. We must believe that God is. And we must believe and seek in him, and that if we do, he'll bless us. It's an important thing. We won't have anything without this. We won't know God. We won't know any of his blessings. We won't know his attributes. We won't know his power. We won't know the forgiveness of sin. We won't know anything spiritual if we don't believe this verse. It's a powerful verse. It's a magnificent verse. It's a wonderful verse. It speaks to my heart loud and clear. Several years back, I was studying for a revival that I had, and I run on this verse, and I preached two or three messages on this verse, but I literally thought when God really began to bless this verse to my heart, I'd preach the whole meeting on this one verse. And we're not going to exhaust this verse. I beg you, in the name of my Lord, to study this verse and pray over this verse and read it and read it and read it and ask God to speak to your heart through it, because it's powerful. It's a base for your standing with God. And so we understand some things. We, without Him and believing that He is, and without diligently seeking Him, there's so much we'll go without. We'll go without knowing Him. We'll go without salvation. We'll go about the liberty from the hell that we deserve. We'll go without the peace of God and the joy of God, the assurance of salvation, many, many things we could say, but there's no need for us to be without anything of God. If we'll just seek God with all of our heart, and know that He is. Moses asked Him about who He was. Just tell Him I am, he said. Just tell Him I am. Just believe that He is. It's a big thing. We can get some insight on this verse from when the Apostle Paul was in Athens. And it's over in Acts 17. I'm not going to read that. I'm going to read one verse to you in a minute. But in Acts 17, Apostle Paul goes to Athens. He's waiting on a couple of other men. And he begins to look around the city, and he finds the city is wholly in idolatry. And he begins to look at their statues, and even finds one statue that says, to the unknown God. So they worshipped all manner of little g gods, and then they built a statue to those little g gods that they hadn't named. And the Apostle Paul begins to speak to them and preach to them in the synagogues. The Bible says he debated with them in the synagogues and in the marketplaces. Everybody that he could get to listen, he debated with them over their gods. And over God. He pleaded with them. And they took Him into their main big building where they did all of their meetings over their gods. And Paul begins to preach to them. And I want you to understand who he was talking to. He's talking to people. They had two different philosophies here in Athens. And the one of the big philosophies was called the Epicureans. And they had a school. Both of these folks had schools, so-called Christian schools. Not Christian schools, but like we would call a Bible school. But they had these false doctrine schools. And there's a lot of those today. And the Epicureans, I just want to read a couple of three things out of each one of them here. Their philosophy was indulgence was the key to life. Indulgence was the key to life. Pleasure was the highest good. Life tranquility was desired. Freedom from passion and pain. And even from the fear of death, because they didn't believe in any life after death. All this yielded gross indulgences. To satisfy the senses was their theme. I'm talking about a wicked philosophy that was in Athens. The Stoics were another group, and they were opposite of this, and they believed that God was the world's soul, and that the world was God's body. That man should live according to nature. Moral earnestness, he should maintain that. But this led to great spiritual pride. Man should be above passion, unmoved by joy and grief and pleasure and pain. Man was to be indifferent. Now, I contend these are terrible philosophies. But as I looked at these and thought on these and meditated on these things and considered these beliefs, I literally thought I was reading about America. America has all of this. Every bit of this is in our country. Every bit of this is dominating our country, and these things even filtrate the church. I contend this evening, it's a drastic thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a hard thing. And Paul preaches to them that God is. He preaches to them about Almighty God. You know, the vast majority of the world today does not believe there's only one God. And some that believe there's only one God, they believe in a false God, that He's the only one God. But the God of the Bible, Jehovah God, is the only God. And we've got to understand this, and we've got to understand a lot about this. And I want you to understand that they said to Paul, as he'd been teaching them in the synagogues and in the marketplaces, and now he's teaching them, going to teach them in their great so-called sanctuary, their false doctrines. They say this about him over in John, Acts 17. They say, "What will this babbler say?" And it says there that they were interested in all strange theologies or philosophies. So they just thought Paul was going to tell them about another one. But Paul made some statements about Almighty God that I believe I need to tell you. There in Acts 17, he said, "He was God that made the world and all things." He pronounced that God to these people that believed all these heresies. He also said He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He also said He dwelleth not in the temple made with hands, nor worshiped with man's hands. He needs nothing. He taught them that. In other words, He taught them He wasn't an idol. He giveth to all life and breath and all things. Now we need to know these things about God. They're true. He made all men one blood, all nations to dwell on the face of the earth, determines the time and bounds of their habitation. He puts you here. And He'll let you stay here as long as He wants. He put you in Jackson, believe it or not. He told him something else about God. In Him we live and move and have our being. We are His offspring. And remember, I'm preaching on seeking God. Diligently seeking God is what we're looking at. I'm talking about the God that we need to diligently seek. He went on to say, He is not like gods of silver and gold and stone graven by art and man's devices. God. God's eternal. He's a past, present, and future. Never has not been, never has, never will not be. I have not been. But created in His image, I will never not be. But He never has not been. And you can think on that as long as you want, but you'll never satisfy that thought. He said in Acts 17, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily or by chance they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from any of us. We're talking about the mighty God, the only true and living God. And I tell you, in His name, He is not far from you. I don't know about you, but I feel His presence. Well, I hope you do. This is an urgent thing that we're talking about. Every person needs to understand that they need to seek God. The lost person even needs to seek God. The Bible in Romans 3 says there's none that understandeth, there's none that doeth good, there's none that understandeth, and there's none that seeketh after God. But Jesus said, "No man comes to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him and I'll raise him up the last day." God draws. He seeks us. Jesus come to seek and to save that which was lost. He seeks us. But when He does, when He seeks us, buddy, listen, we need to then seek Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, when He seeks, we need to seek. And He's close at hand. As Paul said to these, He's near all of us, not far from all of us. Isaiah talking about seeking Him now, diligently seeking Him, because we know He is. Do you know He is? Absolutely, without any doubt, you know God is the God of the Bible, and who He says He is, He is. Is that right? Is that right with you? If that's not right with you, you get that settled right now. Because you're not going anywhere in this life without knowing that. Without any doubt whatsoever. And when we know that, we're to diligently seek Him. And I believe we could seek Him even without the promise that there's a reward to it. It's a wonderful thing to know Him. To know who He is. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." So when we're drawn, we call on Him. I'm amazed that sometimes us believers, us that seek Him with all our heart, us that want Him, sometimes when we're even engrossed in this present world system, He'll just come on us and fellowship with us. He'll start the conversation. He'll start the blessing without us even seeking Him when we've been seeking Him. It's a wonderful thing, this presence of God. We need to understand it. Oh, yes, He cares so, so, so very much. I trust you believe in God. Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, God, for of Him, Romans 11:36, and through Him, and in Him are all things, whom be glory forever. Amen. My God, the God I'm to seek. I want to remind you about yourself. I thought about this about myself, and I judge I'm not a whole lot different than you. You can fault me if I judge you wrongly. But I thought about this, about the things that we seek. And I thought about the grandeur of youth. Now, I'm going to turn 80 this summer, and I can still, believe it or not, remember some of my youth. I'm amazed at Brother Tom being able to remember so much about his youth. He remembers his second grade teacher. I couldn't tell you my second grade teacher's name for nothing on planet Earth. He's preaching the other day and said, "I want to tell you about my second grade teacher, Mrs. So-and-so." I said, "My goodness." But I can remember some things about my youth. And these are some things that I can remember, and I bet you can too. I remember this grandeur of living out great desires. I remember even long before I met Paula that I wanted to be married and have a family. It meant something to me. And I remember that. And God allowed that to happen and allowed me to have a wonderful, precious wife. But these desires, this grandeur of living and seeking these earthly desires, this grandeur of the great joy of success, of attaining desires on earth. Sometimes we call it the American dream. It seems like that dream's fading very hard now. It used to be very big. The illusion of not failing. You ever had that? I can get this done. I can succeed at this. The illusion of not failing. I contend this evening that everything about this physical life, everything that we put treasure in, everything about these grandeurs of youth, and sometimes adults still have grandeurs of youth, I'm going to call it. But I contend that every one of those and all of those will be surrounded with struggle after struggle after struggle. And it's important that we understand this. It's important that we understand that these things that we honestly in youth and sometimes never get over cherish and desire and seek after and slave for never bring the joy and peace that we seek. They never do. They'll never satisfy you. I think it was Pastor said something the other day. If someone asked a millionaire, how much more over a million will it take to desire you? He said something like this, didn't he? And I said another million. Money won't satisfy anybody. Things won't satisfy us. This grandeur of things. Not growing out of this is why so many adults are never satisfied with their job. And they change job after job. So many times, they don't even remain married. You know, over 50% of people that marry for the first time divorce. There's something wrong there. They even can't even keep the same hobby. It doesn't bring it. They even can't keep the same good friend very long. Things that we put value on that are physical. Here's one I don't like at all. So many people can't even seem to find a good church and stay in it. And I believe it's because they seek to themselves teachers having itching ears. I believe that. But I'm talking about how physical things affect us. All physical things will disappoint you. Everyone. Everyone. Without exception. It'll break, it'll tear up. You'll have to spend money on it. You'll have to work on it. You'll have to do something. It'll bring you grief. All physical things. No peace. No permanent satisfaction. This is why we must, without exception, we must seek God. Because He's the only giver of peace. And He's the only giver of satisfaction. He's the only giver of true, real purpose. He's the only giver of joy, unspeakable, full of glory. He can and He will. Oh, we need to seek God. We need to know God. And I want to tell you, in the name of God, you can know God. And you can know God intimately. You can know God personally. You can know God in a great, mighty, wonderful, precious way. God is more than the church. God is more than Christian fellowship. God is more than a good feeling. You will not be able to describe God completely in His wonder. But He is wonderful. I'm telling you, we need to come to the place that we can lay aside our physical things and start seeking God. Let me make it more humiliating. These physical things that we seek all the time, God sees them as idols. And your job can be an idol. Many people let their jobs keep them out of church and keep them from serving God. And if that be the case, that's an idol. Anything that comes between you and God is an idol. Anything that you seek more than God is an idol. And I believe our churches today, and I believe our church is full of things that we seek that's not God. And it's important that we get this. It's very important. What idols do you have? What is so important to you that you seek ahead of God? Oh, this is so important. This is so real. This is gigantic. We must believe God is. God is all I need, folks. You're familiar with Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He just talked about the fowl of the air and the lilies of the field and how He takes care of everything and how much more He'll do that for us believers. So we seek first salvation, and then we seek the righteousness of God. That's to know God. To know God. Righteousness. He's righteous. And He'll give you His righteousness. And we've got to understand these things. Flesh, oh yes, we live in the flesh. Yes, we've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh. But our heart has got to be turned toward God. We got to be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Marmonata saying to you, you must be born again. There's no way to get out of that. We've got to believe that He is and pray and ask Him to save us, and He'll reward that by saving our soul if we repent and believe in Him with all our heart. And then He promises in Philippians 4:19 to supply all our need according to His riches and glory. But here's the old devil trying to trick me that I got to worry about all my needs. I can trust God for my needs. Oh yes, he says, if I don't work, I don't eat. So I got to labor. But I don't have to let that be my God. I've got to seek God. And if I seek God right, He'll reward that. And He'll provide my need. And He's quite able to do that. Because He's over everything. And He knows me, and He loves me, and He loves you, and He loves you. And He's wanting us to understand that we've got to seek Him. Excuse me. So after that, we're saved. I want to share with you 1 Corinthians 8:6. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Listen to this. But unto us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things. And we in Him. And one Jesus Christ, in whom are all things, and we by Him. You want to talk about the Trinity? Just grab hold of this verse. God, by the Father I'm of Him. All things are of Him, and I'm in the Father. One God, one Christ. By Him are all things. In Him, all things. So in the beginning, God, that's Father, Son. You'll see the Holy Spirit there in Genesis 1. But here, I'm in Him. And I'm by Jesus. And everything I have is by Jesus. God the Son. But unto us, there is but one God, one Savior, both are God. Now hear me. We've got to understand this. And we've got to understand we've been bought with a price. We're to glorify Him in our body and our spirit, which are His. And we've got to seek Him because He's all there is that's real. Everything on this earth, including this building, is going to be destroyed by fire. If this building hadn't rotted down when that time comes, it'll be burnt up. and a new earth will be made. All we have to put our confidence in is this one God. And we've got to seek Him with all of our heart. Now, seek Him. The Bible says that if we believe He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, there's got to be some blessings by seeking God. And we've got to seek Him. And we've got to seek Him. And we've got to seek Him with all our heart. I'm telling you, I do not believe individually we put enough importance on God's Word. We're going to know God by His precious Word. We need to study it, show ourselves approved unto Him. We need to rightly divide it, 2 Timothy 2:15. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God in 3:16. And it's profitable. It's good for us. It's very good for us. How are we going to seek God? We're going to seek God through His Word. It's profitable for us. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God might thoroughly be furnished into all good works. So many believers have been saved for years and know so little about their God because they don't know His Word. God would have me to tell you, seek God through His Word. And be diligent at it. Be strong at it. Be consistently at it. Do not quit. Seek God. Ephesians 5:26 of the church, He says, He'll clean it by the washing of the water by the Word. You clean your life if you'll study this book. You'll see your life and you'll see your sin, and He'll convict you of it, and you can repent of it and confess it to Him, and He'll be faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You'll find it in the Word. You'll find it when it's preached. My heart cry is tonight that you'll get under great conviction because you're not seeking God with all your heart and with all your soul. You may seek Him more than a lot of people, but I don't believe we seek Him like we should. Well, Daniel understood the judgment of God was coming. And in chapter 9, in verse 3 and 4, we have Daniel seeking God. And verse 3 says this, "And I set my face unto the Lord, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." I'll read again. "I set my face unto the Lord God." That's narrow-minded now. That's with spiritual blinders on. This is a big deal. This is diligence. To seek by prayer and supplication. Prayer is praise, and supplication is request. Now listen at the humility with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Humility. Daniel is bowing, humbling himself before God. He's seeking God with all that he has. And that's the way we need to come to God. And he goes on in verse 4, "And I prayed unto God, the Lord my God." Personal relationship. "I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great dreadful God, keeping the covenants and mercy to them that love Him, and to them that keep His commandments." If you seek God, you'll keep His commandments. You'll learn them. And you'll want them. And they're not grievous. They're good for you, every one of them. And the more we know of them and the more we keep them, the better off we are. He goes on, the next verse, to ask for forgiveness of sin. Ask Him to forgive Israel's sin. Jeremiah's desolation is coming. And Daniel is seeking God. I talked about the way our country is a while ago. And we can, it seems we can almost just let our country go to hell and not seek God for it. We can go week after week without revival and not seek God for it with all our heart. We can say that we're going to do what God says, but we just can't seem to get to it. And that's sin. And we don't humble ourselves before God like we should. Listen, it is a great, awesome privilege. And outside the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus, you could not even approach God. And yet the door is wide open. And we can seek God for revival in our church. And we can seek God for revival in our land. And we can seek God for forgiveness. His judgment is coming on America. And His judgment's coming on you and I. And we've got to turn our heart toward God. Oh, God, help us to understand what Daniel is saying. What Daniel is doing. Oh, to seek God. Listen to 1 Chronicles 16, 10 and 11. And it's also Psalms 105 and 3 through 4. They're parallel. Glory you in His holy name. Let the heart of him rejoice that seek the Lord. You want to be happy? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His faith. Face continually. Diligently, our text says. Continually, it says here. Psalms 105, 3 and 4, say almost the same. Glory in the holy, in His holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord and His strength. And then it says it a little different. Seek His face evermore. If you'll get right with God tonight on seeking Him, there'll never be a time in your life you won't be seeking Him. Forevermore. All the time, from now on, we need to seek God with this humble heart, broken spirit. We need to be begging God for revival. We need to be begging God for forgiveness of our own sin. And it is a sin not to seek God continually, not to seek Him diligently, not to seek Him forevermore. Another great promise is Psalms 134:10. I'm sharing some scripture with you. I'm fitting the clothes. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. I contend that's young folks seeking after physical. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He's a provider. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Listen, He wants to give Himself to you. He wants to give His Word to you. He wants to give you understanding of His Word. So many people say, I don't understand the Bible. Well, God will show it to them. The Holy Spirit will teach them. I got a couple of more verses and I'll try to close. Ephesians 3:19. Before that, Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, that they would know the love of God, the height and the breadth, depth and the length and all this. And in verse 19 it says this, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You're going to know something that's beyond knowing, that passes knowledge if you seek Him, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You want something to seek? Seek all the fullness of God. all of the fullness of God. You got it? He's big. We've got to understand this diligently, not quitting. Now in Colossians 3, 1 through 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, saved, if you're saved. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. I believe things on the earth become idols to us. And God is saying, set your affection, set your desires, set that that you want on Him, things above. You believe that He is? He's rewarded Him the diligence to seek them? Well, get after it. Get after it. Confess the sin of not seeking God. Confess your sin of not being in His Word. Confess your sin of not being willing to take your hands off yourself. And let God use you the way He wants to use you. Believe God that He could give us revival. Believe God that He could make you holy. Seek Him for His fullness. Seek His righteousness. Seek it above anything you can put your hand on physically. Above all things here on this earth. All that He might be glorified, that the precious Lord Jesus might be lifted up. So without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that is rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, I sought Him the other day, somebody said. Well, I seek Him when I'm in trouble. I seek Him when I have a need. That's not diligently seeking Him. That's using God as a puppet. Seek the Lord. See, He's wanting to have fellowship with us. He's wanting us to know His fullness. He's wanting us to know things past knowledge. He's wanting us to know Almighty God Himself. The devil's stealing it from us. Because with all our heart, believing that He is, believing that He will reward us, believing that He will show us Himself, believing that He will give us His power, believing that He will give us souls, believing that He will let us reproduce and bear fruit that remains. Oh, that we could have revival, that we could see God work in Dennis, and all at once Dennis is just exploding in the power of God. And then He works in you, my brother, and then you, brother, and then me, and then this, and then the first thing you know, all of us are just filled with the Spirit of God because we've been seeking Him. You say, preacher, that can't happen. It will if we seek Him. It'll happen quicker than you think. But we come to church and we hear the word and we go home and 2 days later we can't tell you what was preached. Listen to me, my God is not second class. My God demands first place. And my God is able to bless you of all that you're able to think or bear. He's wonderful. He deserves us to seek Him. He deserves us to let Him be God. Almighty God in me, for me, and to me. Oh my. I want to leave you with a thought to not quit seeking God. But first you got to get started all the time, seeking God all the time, seeking God for yourself and then for me and others. I believe, church, we could all say we need revival. I believe it could start right here. I've asked the folks in the homes that we're going to pray it would start there. I just want to start. I'd love for it to start right here. I believe with all my heart it'll start soon. If with all our heart we believe this verse that He is and His rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and I'm not going to quit, I'm going to do it. I'm going to seek Him for revival. I'm going to seek Him for forgiveness of sin. I'm going to seek Him to know His fullness and His power. I want to seek His total control over me. If we do, He'll take it. And He'll give Himself to us. And we'll know Him like we've never even dreamed that we could know Him. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I want you to pray for yourself. But I'm begging you to turn yourself over to God to seek Him tonight. I mean, He'll meet every need that you got. He'll give you great joy and peace. Church, it's time. Oh, God's done so much here. But it's time we seek Him with all our heart, personally. And it's time we pray for revival. Father, I pray for us tonight. Oh God, please. This is so on my heart. And I pray, God, it'll get on the heart of every believer here. Father, we need You bad. We need You more than our physical brains can understand, but we know from Scripture we've got to have You, and we've got to have Your fullness, and we're asking for it. Lord, I pray You'll burden our heart about seeking You. Please, God. If there's one here that don't know You as Savior, I beg You to touch their heart and draw them down here, and we'll talk to them, share them Scripture, and they can be saved. If You would draw them to Jesus, precious Father, bless as only You can now. In Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Altar's open if you need to come.